When we picture the future of robotics, we usually imagine this massive spark-filled hardware war, right? Like engineers painstakingly forging metal joints and tweaking servo motors.
Yeah, bolting together titanium chassis in some dark factory. It makes complete sense to think that way.
Exactly. It's a very tangible cinematic image. And we naturally focus on the machine itself because, well, that's the part we can actually see.
Right. For the last century, manufacturing dominance was entirely about physical engineering.
Yeah, we just assume that the company with the strongest metal and the fastest motors is going to win. But today, we're doing a deep dive into this fascinating, highly detailed intelligence document exploring the Chinese robotics industry as of June 2026.
And this document really shatters that whole illusion. Because if you look closely at the landscape right now, you start to realize the physical machine is actually becoming the least important part of the equation.
It really is. So our mission for this deep dive is to understand this massive paradigm shift. For those of you listening, we're going to explore how the future of physical AI isn't about titanium at all. It's being fought over invisible software ecosystems.
And we're going to look at why giving away billion-dollar technology for absolutely free is, it's actually the ultimate power play.
Yeah, it's a wild strategy. So we're going to give you a shortcut to understanding what people are calling the Android moment of robotics, without getting bogged down in all the heavy technical jargon.
It is a total inversion of how tech companies usually protect their intellectual property, that's for sure.
Okay, let's unpack this. To really grasp it, we need to start with this striking visual from the sources. So picture this. It's November 11th, 2024. We're in a workshop in Yizhuang, Beijing.
Right, the technology hub.
Exactly. And the CEO of a company called X-Humanoid, Xu Xiaoju, is standing next to a bipedal robot. The document notes this machine is 1.69 meters tall, and it has 43 separate joints.
Wow. And you have to understand, just to put that number into perspective, your human hand alone requires incredibly complex mechanics and physics calculations just to hold a fragile egg.
Right, without crushing it or dropping it.
Exactly. So for a machine to have 43 joints, I mean, it isn't just a stiff mannequin. It has a human-like center of gravity.
Yeah, the document says it wasn't just standing stiffly on a podium. It's walking naturally. It's climbing stairs seamlessly, navigating uneven floors without losing balance.
And achieving that level of bipedal stability usually requires years of dedicated research. We're talking tens of millions of dollars in investment.
Which makes what happened next completely mind-blowing. Instead of putting a massive price tag on this robot, the CEO announces something called the Tiangong Open Source Plan.
They just gave it away.
They gave it away. They aren't selling it. They released the entire 3D modeling format, the URDF. They released the core control stack running on the robot operating system.
Yeah, they even gave away the highly complex movement algorithms that keep the robot balanced.
This sounds like spending a decade perfecting the recipe for Coca-Cola and then just, I don't know, posing it on a massive billboard in Times Square. Like, why would they do that?
What's fascinating here is that to understand the motivation, you really have to look at who is actually behind the Tiangong platform.
Right. This isn't just one startup.
No, not at all. It wasn't a charitable startup giving away its homework. The Beijing Embodied AI Robotics Innovation Center, the group that created this, was formed by 10 heavy-hitting tech companies. We're talking Xiaomi, UB Tech, players like that.
Okay, so a huge coalition.
Exactly. But the crucial detail is that the government's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology elevated this center. They turned it into a national level think tank.
Oh, wow. So this is a highly coordinated, state-backed initiative from the very beginning. They aren't playing around.
No, they have a very clear playbook, and their strategy is a direct mirror of what Google did with smartphones. Think about it. Back in the day, Google didn't try to manufacture every single phone.
Right. They gave away the Android operating system for free.
Yes. Handset makers used it because it saved them billions in software development. But the catch was that they were permanently locked into Google's ecosystem.
Right. You get the free software, but now you have to use the Google Play Store, Google Maps, everything.
Precisely. By giving away the Tiangong code, Beijing is executing the exact same playbook, but for the physical world.
So they want hundreds of these scrappy robot startups to look at this and say, you know, why spend 5 years writing our own movement algorithms when we could just download Tiangong's code before lunch?
And that is the trap. The moment those startups adopt the free software, they are locked in. From that point forward, they have to use the APIs, the sensor specifications, the communication protocols, all dictated by the Beijing Center.
Ah, I see. So they're trading away free code today to achieve absolute control over the entire industry standards tomorrow.
Exactly. Controlling the standard is the ultimate goal.
But wait, controlling standards is totally useless if nobody actually uses them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fatal flaw in giving away an operating system. A robot with a perfect OS, but no real-world experience, is like a certified genius who has never actually left their bedroom.
That's a great analogy.
Right. To make these robots smart, you need an ocean of data. So how are they actually teaching these machines to understand the physical world?
That is where the strategy moves from software to infrastructure. In robotics, data has historically been a completely chaotic mess.
How so?
Well, if one robot arm picks up a cup, it might record that movement in one specific digital format. Then another robot from a different company logs a similar movement in a completely different format.
Oh, so they can't talk to each other.
Right. You couldn't easily combine their experiences to train a smarter overall AI.
Okay. Which brings us to the release of the RoboMind dataset in December 2024. The document shows the center released 107,000 robotic trajectories and 479 specific tasks.
All unified under a single format.
Right. They unified it under something called HDF5. But I want to make sure I understand how that actually helps the industry.
Think of HDF5 like a universal translator for robots. Before, like I said, it was like one robot writing its memories in French and another writing in Japanese.
Okay, that makes sense.
So HDF5 forces every single machine to write its physical memories in the exact same language. Suddenly, you can merge the brains of thousands of different robots.
And the sources say the center even provided the training tools to let researchers easily adapt this unified data to cutting-edge algorithms, things like diffusion policy.
Yes, diffusion policy is huge here.
And just to clarify, if I'm understanding the sources correctly, diffusion policy is a way for AI to learn from human demonstrations by adding and removing noise, kind of like how AI image generators slowly clarify a blurry picture, but applied to physical movement.
That's a great way to visualize it. It allows the robot to learn the smooth, continuous motion of a task rather than just rigid point A to point B programming.
But wait a second. I have to push back here.
Okay, go ahead.
The source notes that they uploaded this massive cleaned data set to Hugging Face, which is, you know, a massive global open source AI platform. And it became a top download globally.
It did.
So aren't they just handing their biggest competitors around the world, like in the US and Europe, the exact data they need to beat them?
It sounds totally counterintuitive, I know. But it is actually the mechanism that springs the trap.
Okay, how?
By making this incredibly high-quality data so accessible, they established an industry standard. Alongside this release, they published the industry's first 6-level intelligence standard for humanoid robots.
Oh, like the L0 to L5 levels we use for autonomous driving.
Exactly like that. By giving away the best tools and the absolute best data, they're effectively forcing the rest of the world to build upon their foundational architecture. They want researchers globally to get addicted to their formatting.
Oh, wow. And according to the numbers, it's actually working. The sources say the Yuzhuang hub is now pumping out over 10 terabytes of standardized robot data every single day.
Which is an unimaginable amount of physical interaction.
10 terabytes a day. It's millions of tiny micro movements logged and standardized. And all of this infrastructure building set the stage for a massive leap forward.
The jump to February 2026.
Right. They unveiled Tiangong 3.0 and an open software platform called Huisikaiwu.
And this new platform uses a high compute chip called the Zhuru S600, which the sources note cuts development costs by over 50% for manufacturers.
Which is huge for these hardware companies. But it's the physical demonstration of Tiangong 3.0 that really proves the value of all this data. The visual in the document is wild.
The wall jump.
Yes. Picture a 62-kilogram robot that's about 136 pounds flawlessly jumping over a 1-meter-high wall and pulling its entire body weight up using just one arm.
Just think about the physics of that movement for a second. To execute a one-armed body weight lifting jump over a meter-high obstacle requires real-time micro-adjustments.
I mean, I would struggle to do that.
Most people would. The machine has to calculate explosive power, friction, a dynamic center of mass all within milliseconds. A robot cannot do that with just high-quality motor.
Right. It needs the software.
It needs a profoundly advanced brain processing the environment faster than human thought.
Which brings us to the software brain they released in late 2025, called Pelican VL 1.0. The sources describe this as a massive, multimodal foundation model.
Yes, and the architecture behind it relies on a framework called DPPO Deliberate Practice Policy Optimization.
Now, the document says this mimics human metacognition.
Right.
But how does a machine actually achieve metacognition? Like, what does that mean in practice?
Imagine a human learning to play the piano. When you hit the wrong key, you don't just stop and freeze.
Right, you realize your mistake.
Exactly. You realize you stretch your pinky too far, you adjust your hand posture, and you try again. You are thinking about how you are thinking.
That makes sense.
Most standard AI models don't do that. If they fail, they just fail and require a human to tweak the reward parameters. DPPO allows the AI to analyze its own failure. It asks itself, why did I miss that jump? And then it self-corrects its future behavior.
That is fascinating. It's literally learning how to learn.
Yes.
And according to the center's benchmarks in the source material, this metacognition allowed Pelican to outperform GPT-5 class embodied AI models by 15.8% and Google's Gemini by 19.3%.
Those are massive margins in the AI world.
They really are. The document quotes tech analyst Dan Wang here, and he frames this perfectly. He points out that the state is basically laying down the invisible bottom layer foundation, you know, the operating system, the data format, the foundation model, so that individual companies don't have to reinvent the wheel.
It is a textbook top-down approach to ecosystem building.
As opposed to the West.
Exactly. In the West, you largely see a bottom-up approach where every startup is frantically trying to build their own proprietary operating system, gather their own data set, and build their own hardware all at the same time.
Which is incredibly expensive and slow.
Right. The Yizhuang strategy removes that massive friction by providing a unified, state-backed infrastructure as a public good. Companies can just focus on building the applications on top.
But there is a massive vulnerability in any top-down approach. If the state dictates a single standard, and that standard has a blind spot, or if the technology stumbles,
the entire ecosystem built on top of it comes crashing down.
Exactly. It's a massive single point of failure.
Yeah.
And that vulnerability is exactly what opens the door for a fierce competitor. Because the biggest threat to this state-backed ecosystem isn't actually coming from the West.
No, it's coming from a completely different strategy deployed right inside China.
Right. So let's talk about Alibaba Cloud. Just a few days ago, on June 16, 2026, their Qwen team dropped an absolute bombshell, the Qwen Robot Suite.
And Alibaba actually referred to this internally as their Android moment, too.
Yes. Here's where it gets really interesting. Right now, there are around 150 different hardware makers out there. These companies are just bleeding each other dry in a brutal price war.
Slashing hardware costs.
Slashing them to a tenth of what they used to be, just to survive. But Alibaba is refusing to step into that gladiator arena. They aren't building a robot body at all. Instead, they are just sitting comfortably in the stands, selling the only swords in the arena.
It is a brilliant strategic maneuver. For years, the big tech companies fought their AI wars purely on screens, right? Focusing on text and images with large language models.
Yeah, ChatGPT, Claude, all of that.
Exactly. But they eventually realized the ultimate bottleneck for AI isn't processing text on the internet. It is interacting with the physical world.
Yeah.
It is the massive gap between a machine seeing an object and actually doing something physical with it. The Qwen Robot Suite is designed specifically to bridge that gap.
So how does Alibaba actually solve that seeing versus doing problem without building a robot themselves?
Well, the documents break down the Qwen Robot Suite into three highly specialized modules.
Okay, let's go through them. First, you have Qwen Robot Nav, which handles navigation.
Traditionally, robots navigate using LiDAR sensors, you know, those spinning lasers you see on self-driving cars.
Sure, yeah.
And they require highly detailed, pre-mapped environments. If you move a chair in a room, a traditional robot gets totally confused because its map is suddenly wrong.
It just stops working.
Right. Qwen Robot Nav completely replaces that dependency. It uses a vision language model trained on 15.6 million samples.
So instead of needing a laser map, it understands the world the way we do.
Yes.
You can put a robot in a completely unfamiliar, unmapped room and just tell it, hey, go to the desk behind the blue sofa.
And it just figures it out.
Yeah, because it uses a vision language model. It understands the concept of a desk and a blue sofa. It processes the natural language, scans the room visually, avoids obstacles dynamically, and just navigates to the target.
Precisely. It isn't relying on a static map. I mean, it is reasoning about its environment in real time. And according to the sources, it achieves a 76.5% success rate in completely unmapped real-world environments.
That is wild. Okay, so that's module one, getting around. Module two is Quen Robot Manip. This is all about fine motor skills to hands and fingers.
The tricky part.
Yeah, the document calls this a vision language action, or VLA. Model.
Oh.
I have to stop you there, though. I understand vision and language like an AI looking at a photo and describing it, but how does an AI actually translate a linguistic concept, like the word grab, into the physical torque of a robot's motor?
That is the magic of the VLA architecture. It was trained on 38,100 hours of video showing humans and robots doing highly precise tasks.
Just watching video.
Watching and learning, yeah. If you tell it to grab the delicate teacup, the model has learned to associate the visual property of delicate and the word teacup with a specific mathematical force output.
Oh, wow.
So it knows that applying 10 pounds of pressure will shatter it, so it scales the Mobi torque down to just 1 pound of pressure.
And the real breakthrough here is interoperability, yeah. Right? Because different robot arms have totally different joint configurations.
Exactly. One robot, Manip, acts as a univocal translator. It takes that high-level command grab delicately and translates it into the specific motor language of over 14 different types of robotic arms.
Okay, so it can walk the walk, and it can grab the cup. But Module 3 is what really bent my mind. This is Quen Robot World. The document calls it an imagination model.
This is where we cross into incredibly advanced predictive territory. Quen Robot World was trained on roughly 200 million frames of video data, and it gives the robot the ability to simulate and predict physics.
I love how the sources explain this. It's like when you go to pick up a milk carton from the fridge that you think is completely full, but it's actually empty.
Oh, yeah, and you yank it into the air.
Right. You almost throw it over your shoulder because your brain predicted the physics wrong.
Exactly.
This AI runs those physical simulations in its head before it ever moves its plastic arm. It calculates, you know, if I apply this much torque at this angle, will the box slide across the floor smoothly, or is the center of gravity too high, causing it to tip over?
It literally sees the accident before it happens in a simulated mental environment, and then it corrects its physical trajectory to avoid it.
That level of spatial and physical awareness is just staggering.
Mm.
And the kicker is that Alibaba is distributing this incredibly advanced brain almost for free. They don't require these scrappy robot startups to buy expensive, heavy AI chips to put inside the robot chassis.
Which leads to the real question.
Right. So what does this all mean? Put yourself in the shoes of a hardware company in South Korea or Germany or the U.S. You are drowning in research and development costs just trying to make a metal arm work.
It's expensive.
Super expensive. Suddenly, Alibaba offers you a world-class AI brain that lets your robot navigate unknown rooms and predict physics. And all you have to do is subscribe to an incredibly cheap 5G API. The heavy compute happens on Alibaba's servers, and your robot just streams the resulting actions. It seems like a no-brainer to take the deal. What is the catch?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the catch is the data.
The
data. Always the data. When that German or South Korean robot uses Alibaba's brain to walk around a hospital or a factory floor or someone's living room, it is constantly interacting with the physical world.
Gathering sensory input.
Yes. It's learning the spatial dimensions of human environments. It's learning how different materials react to pressure. And all of that incredibly rich, invaluable, real-world data gets funneled straight back to Alibaba's cloud servers.
Wow. So the hardware manufacturers are essentially paying to do all the heavy lifting. They pay for the titanium, the motors, the shipping, the maintenance.
They take all the physical risk.
Right. They're building the physical vessels at their own expense. And Alibaba is just silently siphoning out the gold, the behavioral and physical data of the real world.
And the intelligence document explicitly warns that hardware makers who take this deal risk becoming nothing more than empty tin cans.
Tin cans.
Yeah, they become hollow shells. We saw this exact dynamic play out in the smartphone era.
Oh, that's a great point.
The companies that just built the glass and plastic hardware eventually lost all the leverage and all the high margin value to the software ecosystems, to Android and iOS.
Right, because the software is where the value actually lives.
Exactly. The warning here is that robot makers could lose the entire future of physical AI to cloud providers. The battlefield for digital capitalism has officially shifted. It is no longer about scraping text from internet websites. It is about controlling and processing the physical world.
It's a totally different scale of dominance. So to bring it all together for you listening, we are looking at two massive competing strategies trying to become the puppeteer of the physical world.
Yep.
On one side, you have the state-backed Beijing Innovation Center, laying down a top-down infrastructure of free code, unified data sets, and standard-setting foundation models like Pelican VL.
They are trying to build a public highway that everyone is forced to drive on.
Great way to put it. On the other side, you have big tech, Alibaba, using their massive cloud computing power to offer a subscription-based imagination brain, turning hardware makers around the world into data-gathering tin cans. Both want to own the soul of the machine.
And critically, neither of them wants to be the one actually swinging the hammer to build the metal shell.
Exactly. So next time you're scrolling online and you see a viral video of a sleek humanoid robot doing a backflip or folding laundry or navigating a complex obstacle course, don't just look at the shiny metal joints.
Don't look at the hardware.
Right. You should be asking yourself, whose invisible software ecosystem is actually pulling the strings?
You know, this raises an important question for you to think about. If the ultimate goal of these operating systems is to harvest every single physical interaction as data, every door opened, every object moved, every room navigated, at what point does our physical world effectively become a proprietary search engine?
Oh, wow.
And if an AI brain in a distant cloud is the only entity that fully maps, predicts, and understands the physics and habits of our daily lives, who truly owns the reality we live in? Is it the people walking through it or the operating system quietly measuring it all?
That is a deeply unsettling but absolutely necessary thought to leave off on. Who owns reality when the physical world becomes just another data set? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the invisible systems around you, and we'll see you next time.